Romans chapter 8. And we'll take at least 2 weeks. I think we'll take 2 weeks on chapter 8. This is so exciting. When we get to this part of Romans, and I've been kind of walking through, we're trying to do an overview of it. And I know I haven't really grounded out as far as words and phrases and every verse, but I want to give you a good, solid overview of the book of Romans, and I think we've been able to accomplish that. Chapter number 7 leaves us in a little bit of despair. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, Paul, thank God, God used Paul to write these things. That encourages me and talks about this struggle. Remember, folks, we're dealing with this new dynamic now that we're born again. Yes, we have this new nature. Yes, we have within us the ability to live in the power of the resurrection. But we also are bound in this old flesh, and we still have our sin nature. And so you're going to have to understand that this is going to be a battle that you face every day of your life for the rest of your life. It's not going away. And so Paul, let me just remind us what he said, verse 15, if you want to glance back at chapter 7. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin, my sin nature that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh. Now we're very specific. We know what that is. The flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin, or my sin nature, my flesh that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, watch this, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And he gets down to verse 24, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then that last verse, I'm so glad chapter 20, verse 25 is there. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, we're going to shift, all right? We have some hope. There is hope. There is a way that we can succeed in the Christian life, even though we have this battle. Even sometimes it seems like we keep losing this battle. How can we win the battle? All of a sudden, we're introduced to the third person of the Trinity in the very first verse of Romans chapter 8. Now watch this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, as I teach down through this. Lord, help us to understand, Lord, that sometimes as Christians we can become so hopeless and be overcome with it, with despair, because we want to live for you. We want to do the right things. And then, Lord, it seems like we just fail so often. So as we begin to learn, Lord, how to walk in the Spirit, what that means, Lord, to understand that each and every day of our life, we truly have a choice and how we're going to live that day. And Lord, thank you, Jesus, for what you did on Calvary's cross. And thank you for dying for our sins. And thank you for raising from the dead. And thank you that you give us, through your presence and through your Spirit, the ability to live in the power of the resurrection. So help us to learn how to better live for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, why? Because the law was bad? No, in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who, here's the key, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so twice we see this phrase, verse number 1, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 4, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once you're saved, there is one of two ways that you have to choose to live out your Christian life. This takes a while for a new convert to learn, to be taught, It's something that is part of our growth process as Christians. As we learn more about God, we learn about the Trinity, we learn about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We begin to understand that we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Because, folks, if all we had within us was this old nature versus the new nature, and all we did was allow those two to struggle against each other, then you end up with a Romans chapter 7 scenario going on most of the time in your life. But here's what I ended with last time. Think about this. God knew our weaknesses. The Creator understood His creation. And He understood that we would need a supernatural dynamic to be present in each and every one of us to be able to teach us and help us to win instead of lose, to follow after righteousness instead of giving in to wickedness, and to be all that our newborn spirit wants us to be and that the Holy Spirit wants us to be instead of just giving in to our flesh. And so we have to decide, which of these two ways am I going to live in my Christian life? You could walk after the flesh, and we're going to talk about that. If you hear the phrase down here in verse number 6, carnally minded, what does that mean? What does it mean to be a carnal Christian versus a spiritual Christian? This is what it's talking about, choosing to walk after the flesh, or you can walk after the Spirit. I'm talking about, by the way, saved people, all right? We're talking about people that have truly been born again. But you still have to choose how you're going to live out your life. Now, you say, preacher, what does that mean? Walking after the flesh versus walking after the Spirit. Okay, you can, in the flesh, try to fulfill the law of sin and death. Okay, the Old Testament law was given to us. And again, I wanted to point that out. For that, verse 3, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak. How was it weak? Through our flesh. Remember, let's not make God's law bad. Okay, there's a constant attack against any command of the Bible, any law of the Bible. And I'm going to kind of throw this out. I'm going to get to it in a minute anyway. But I want you to think about this. Some of our folks say, well, we are not bound to those moral laws anymore. We are not bound to the Old Testament law when it comes to morality and right and wrong. And I understand that some of the law was nailed to the cross, folks. There's a difference between ceremonial law and moral law. But the New Testament also has commands. And it's like folks want to claim that they are free from all of the commands of God. Watch this. All they need to do is just walk in the Spirit and follow the Spirit and, well, wait, time out. Are you going to tell me, by the way, the Spirit has a first name. Are you going to tell me the Holy Spirit? Okay, the Holy Spirit. Are those of you, well, we're not bound to that anymore, you know. It's almost like it's just between me and God. It's just how the Spirit leads in my life. And then all of a sudden, you know, now, boy, when I start talking this, I think you're getting out on a real dangerous place. Because all of a sudden, everything that you do that's in direct disobedience to the Bible, you're going to start talking about, well, it's because the Spirit. No, here's the thing I want us to remember. The Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, does not give us a right to ignore the written commandments and the written precepts and principles and commands of God's holy word. The Holy Spirit is never going to contradict the Bible. The Holy Spirit's never going to contradict the Bible. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit hadn't convicted me about that. Okay. So what does that mean? Just because you've read it in the Bible and you didn't tingle, you don't think you have to follow it? Okay, this is God's word. Okay, this is precious. God's word is equated with his Son. In the beginning was the word. How you treat the Bible is how you're treating Christ. And you know what? We got to be careful here because folks have gone into Romans chapter 8 and they want to twist it and turn it in such a way where it makes it sound like, hey, we're free from the law of sin and death. We are free from the consequences of the law of sin and death. The consequences of the law of sin and death, okay? The law of sin is the law of death. But that doesn't mean, we've already seen several times where Paul's had to stop and say, shall we continue therefore in sin? God forbid! And it's almost like, okay, I want you to understand that you have this new dynamic. And you know what? Where that Holy Spirit leading becomes so valuable in our life is not in the areas of the black and white commands of the Bible, the black and white right and wrongs of the Bible, where the Holy Spirit is such value in our life. Yes, he'll reinforce that. But there's a lot of decisions we have to make and a lot of things that we have to decide in life that the Bible is not cut and dried on. There is no verse to tell us exactly what we need to do in this instance. And that's where we have this incredible dynamic. Folks, Old Testament saints did not have what we have. They didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. You realize that they did not have the complete canon of Scripture, and they did not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Do you understand? I think you do. What an advantage we have by just having parts of the Bible that they didn't have access to and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. I think we're going to be held to a high account when we stand before the judgment seat of God. And so let's go into this and take a look at what, okay, you can walk after the flesh, you can walk after the Spirit. Okay, you can in the flesh try to fulfill the written law of sin and death through the flesh. The law, the Old Testament law, could not turn an unrighteous man into a righteous man. Anyone who tried to obey the Old Testament law and the power of their flesh failed. The Old Testament law or New Testament law, any of the commands of God, I shouldn't just keep saying Old Testament, any law of God taught us that what was the purpose? To teach us that we were sinful and that sin produces death. And you know what? I think all of us can say amen and amen to that. Okay. And so you can in the flesh, if we're just trying to live this thing called the Christian life and be obedient to all of the commands and precepts of the Bible in the power of the flesh, we are going to fail. Now, the Holy Spirit is indwelt in us, but you know what? That doesn't mean that he's in control of us. One of the things your pastor's done multiple times, I'm not going to do it again this morning, but we talk about the proper ordering of ourselves. I think that is so important. In fact, I printed off and I forgot to grab them off the coffee machine. I'll put them back on the back table either this morning or tonight. But I've got a series of lessons entitled Understanding Yourself. And I've taught them in times past. I printed off the entire set. I think there's either 7 or 8 lessons on understanding yourself. As a Christian, especially a newborn Christian, it's so important that you understand you. Okay, we are a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. Okay, and you know what? Our soul is a trinity, our mind, our heart, and our will. And you have to understand the parts. Part of morning devotions, part of the time that you spend every morning walking with God and going through your prayer time and all that, you would be wise to spend some time ordering yourself every single morning, walking out the door in the proper order. Now, we have a body. We're not going to lose that because we got saved. Okay, body, soul, spirit. Now we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Remember, before we were saved, body, soul, we have a spirit, but it's dead in trespasses and sin. Then we get born again. The Holy Spirit comes in. That which is born of the capital S spirit, the small S spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes into us, rebirths our dead spirit, but he doesn't leave then. He stays. Now you think about how different a lost person is from a saved person. Okay, you're trying to talk about spiritual things to someone who's dead in spirit. They can't be spiritually minded until they're born again. That's why a lot of times they want to argue all of the scriptures or they want to try to discuss the Bible. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. Okay, they can't discern those things. You have to just keep on point the same message and take it back to salvation and back to salvation and back to salvation because they're not going to understand the rest of it till they get that. But once, so here's a lost person. They have a body. We all have a body. We have a soul, a never dying soul. It's going to go somewhere and live for all eternity. We have a spirit, but it's dead in trespasses and sin. And that is who you're talking to when you're talking to a lost person. By the way, that's who you were, okay, before you got saved. But then the glorious light of the gospel shines in. You understand what Jesus did. He died on the cross for our sins, was buried, rose again. God personalizes that in your life, brings you under Holy Spirit conviction. You cry out and ask God to save you and forgive you and receive the gift of eternal life. And this miraculous thing happens called the new birth. And the Holy Spirit of God, a member of the triune God. Okay, he's not a third class part of God. He's as much God as God the Father. He's as much God as God the Son. And God took a member of the Trinity and had him indwell. By the way, think about that. He doesn't just indwell me. Isn't our God wonderful? He indwells every single one of us. What is the common bond amongst born-again believers? What brings us into the unity of the faith? If we're all listening and we're all surrendered and we all are properly ordered, it's very easy for us to be in agreeance in the most important things that the Bible deals with. Doesn't mean we're going to always agree about everything, but in the vital things, the important things. And you know what? That brings a unity to the body of Christ because we're all indwelt by the same Spirit. He's reinforcing what the Bible says in our life, teaching us as we learn it, opening it up to us. Maybe different folks at different places of growth, spiritual growth. Maybe some don't have quite the understanding of the Scriptures, and the Holy Spirit hasn't dealt with you because you don't know yet. But as you learn, there's a unity in faith, and it's a wonderful thing that God's done by sending His Spirit to indwell each and every one of us. Now, we are body, soul, reborn spirit, Holy Spirit. But a lot of times, that's the order we allow ourselves to stay in after we get saved. We've let the flesh lead for so long that, you know what? As a new Christian, it's the normal and natural thing to do what you've always done. But all of a sudden, it's not normal and natural because you have that still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God. I went and visited Chris last week, and him and Danielle was working on trying to get a couple of their friends to come to church. And this was last Saturday. And guess what? They came with them last Sunday morning. It was exciting. And I stopped by the house to check up on him. And him and his wife, and they stood out there, talked to me for a while. I think Brother Joseph was with me there. He had to show me his new crossbow. We had to talk about the important things. Then we got to, you know, other things. But then he started telling me about how he's working on this couple. And they're going to have him over tonight. And he said, I'm having him over to eat with us tonight because we're going to try to get him to church tomorrow. He drives a truck, so he's only here on weekends. He's only here one day. But you know what? I think I'm going to get him to come to church tomorrow. And he's so excited. He's telling me all these things that all the reasons he's given this man why he needs to give the Lord's Day and why he needs to come to church. And then he stopped and he said, and I realized as I was talking to him that everything I'm telling him is the same thing Brother Levi told me for 5 years before I finally started coming to church and got saved. He said, I'm turning into Brother Levi. And I had to laugh about that. I thought, well, you know what? Praise God. He said, here, I'm excited. I didn't used to want to go to church. And then he told me this. Now watch this. I'm going to give you, this is a new convert. Hadn't been saved that long. He said, preacher, I used to go to work and I used to stand there and listen to the guys cuss and carry on and tell dirty stories. He said, I just join in and laugh. And he said, now, every time I go to work, somebody even starts cussing. I just look at him, go like this and walk away. He said, why is it bothering me the way it does? I said, because you got born again. He said, I realized they're talking about things they shouldn't talk about. He said, I literally say, hey, guys, I'm a Christian now. Are you understanding this? Folks, aren't you glad you have the Spirit of God inside of you? Why didn't that bother him here? Because he was body, soul, dead spirit. There's no spirituality. Lost, dead in trespasses and sin. Okay, but all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes in and rebirths you into a new creature. And now the Holy Spirit's wanting to help properly order you. Now watch this, okay? The Holy Spirit is a person, okay? You got all that of Him the day that you got saved. Please let me say that again. You got all of Him the day that you got saved. There's nothing you can do. Our charismatic friends are confused in this, okay? Nothing you can do to get more of the Holy Spirit, okay? I'm either in this room or I'm not in this room. Okay, all right. I don't send my arm in, then a leg in. Okay, then my head comes bouncing in. All right, I either walk in and all of me's here, or all of me's not, and he's a person, not a thing. Okay, not some type of mysterious gas. No, he's a person. Okay, so he enters in. Now wait a minute, though. Watch this. He's there, and you have as much of him as you'll ever have. But that doesn't mean he has as much of you as he can have. And so what we tend to do as new Christians is we, even though we have this still small voice, we have the presence of the Spirit of God, we got a reborn spirit, and all of a sudden we're aware of spiritual things where we used to not even be aware of some spiritual things, you know. All of a sudden things bother us that didn't bother us before. All of a sudden we have a hunger. Watch this. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. I mean, before you got saved, you picked this book up a few times, tried to read it. Well, I don't understand any of that. You drive by a church and watch a bunch of people pull it and say, why would they take their only day off and go there? But all of a sudden, there's something's happened. There's a difference. A newborn babe desires the sincere milk of the Word. Listen, you know what? A baby naturally cries for his mother's milk. It's natural. It's normal. And you know what? It's natural for a newborn Christian to want the sincere milk of the Word. There's a hunger. There's a want to. I want to read my Bible. I want to go to church. I want to get there early for Sunday school. I don't want to miss Wednesday night. I want to learn. I want to learn. I want to learn. That's as normal and natural as a human baby crying to be fed. And so all of a sudden there's these differences, but wait a minute. There's still this flesh, and there's still these battles, and there's still those times where we give in and we find ourselves saying things and we're convicted about it, doing things we're convicted about it. And here's where we got to be careful, because when we don't teach this, and one of the things that we're working on some new convert material. One of the things that I think we've kind of failed in teaching to new converts that ought to be one of the basic first things is an understanding of how they were fundamentally transformed when salvation occurred in their life. Because, listen, they're still got this body. They still got this flesh. They've got the want to do right because they got a reborn spirit. But the flesh has led so long that it's just, you know, it's hard to get things in the proper, here it is, order. So what is this talking about? Are we going to walk in the flesh or are we going to walk in the spirit? Well, if you may be born again, and so you have your body, your soul, your reborn spirit, and here's the Holy Spirit, and guess what? He's the caboose. Okay, he's not the engine. Okay, he's being dragged by the train. He's not pulling the train. And there has to be a conscious yielding and surrendering to the Holy Spirit and his activity in your life. So a lot of Christians that are carnal Christians, well, somebody called me a carnal Christian. I got mad. Well, do you understand what it means? And is it true? Okay, instead of getting offended by these biblical phrases, why don't we be honest and in light of the scripture and with the help of the Holy Spirit, just examine ourselves. Okay, is the Holy Spirit of God the one leading you in your life? Are you walking in the Spirit? In other words, listen, we're going to follow in proper order the Holy Spirit in our lives, every day of our lives, and let him help us become a spiritual Christian. So here we are, born again. This person's body, soul, dead spirit, no Holy Spirit, and you get saved. Body, soul, and then you are you have a reborn spirit, but the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's back here saying, hey, who do you think could best run this life? Who do you think could best get you where you need to get to? Who do you think has a better plan for your life? That old flesh? Come on. We've read about the flesh. All the flesh does is cause us a bunch of trouble. So what the Holy Spirit wants us to do is to yield to his leading in our life, where we purposely say, Holy Spirit, I don't want to follow the flesh. I don't want to walk in the flesh today. I want to walk in the Spirit. So I'm going to ask you to come to the front of the line today. And by the way, after the Holy Spirit is your reborn spirit, because the Spirit can only communicate, God can only communicate to us through our reborn spirit. And then you know what? All of a sudden we have our soul, which is mind, heart, and will. And all of a sudden now, instead of the flesh influencing our mind so that we're carnally minded or fleshly minded, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit through our reborn spirit is creating spiritual thinking and spiritual thoughts. By the way, How you think is how you're going to feel. How you think and feel is probably how you're going to decide on things, what you're going to do in life. Mind, heart, will. Okay? Now, listen, we get the Holy Spirit up in front here. Things are going to go a lot better. Listen, it's not going to make you sinless, but it will make you sin less. And you know what? You're going to end up in a better place. You're going to be more successful. You're going to understand the Bible more. You're going to enjoy prayer more. You're going to enjoy church more. You're going to want to stop and talk to somebody about Jesus. Why? Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Hey, my flesh never wants to go soul winning. My flesh never wants to talk to anybody about Jesus. If I let the flesh lead, I'll go an entire week and never pass out a gospel tract. But when the Spirit's leading and I'm listening to Him, you know what He's saying? Hey, look at that person over there. Wonder if they're saved. Why don't you go over and talk to them? Hey, hand this waitress a gospel tract. Invite her to your church. Hey, 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 hey. And He's all leading you to live the spiritual life. And a spiritual life is an exciting life. Because all of a sudden, you're doing things that are eternal. This is a supernatural life. This is an exciting life because God's in control. But you know what? There's part of us. Come on. This both sin nature wants to set back here. Now we got Holy Spirit, reborn spirit, soul. So all of a sudden he's producing spiritual thoughts, spiritual emotions, spiritual decisions. And here's the flesh back here. And we're supposed to crucify the flesh. Die daily. We don't only just put him in the back of the line. We crucify him every morning. And you know what? Come on. He don't like it. Just back there pouting because our flesh still wants its way. Now, this is it, folks. It is no more complicated than that. You know, I've told you all the parts, including breaking down the soul into three parts. I brought people up here, brought a number of our men up here before and had them hold up signs so you can see the order and all of that. It's not like there's seven or eight parts I've left out. That's what we are. That's who we are. Now, what we've got to do is figure out how to properly order that. Now, what chapter 8 is talking about, the reason I had to review all that, because that's what chapter 8 is talking about. Everything that chapter 8 is talking about is, hey, listen, you got saved, right? Yep. Got all excited? Yep. And boy, you went charging up? Yep. And then all of a sudden, you start failing, you start failing, you start failing. The devil said, hey, you probably aren't even saved. Saved person wouldn't have done that. Saved person wouldn't have thought that. Saved person wouldn't have. You're not good enough to go to church. You can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do this. Hey, by the way, he's right. You can't. But we're not supposed to. Isn't it exciting when we get things in order? Now listen, here's the thing. You can do it tomorrow. You can do it before you go home today. You can take a little bit of time every single day of your life and say, Lord, before I take off into this world, the last thing I want is me trying to run the show. My flesh trying to run the show. Because I'm just going to mess up another day. Okay, in our flesh, the Bible says, is no good thing. Okay, that means is no good thing. That means when he leads, bad things are happening. Now, the Holy Spirit, oh, what a wonderful thing. When we just say, hey, you know what? Why don't you get the front of the line? Holy Spirit, I just don't want you to indwell me. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I want you to speak to me. When we do this early in the morning, I mean, before we even crack our Bible open, all of a sudden we open the Bible and that Holy Spirit, who's now been promoted to the place he wants to be in our life, says, let me show you some things from the Bible. Our flesh is not going to understand this. But all of a sudden the Bible starts making sense. And it's not like everything we understand at all, but there's those what I call neon light moments where you're reading the Bible and just, you know, there's a verse that almost just glows off the page and that's what you needed today, and that's the encouragement you needed or the answer you needed, something you were wondering about, something you were struggling with, something a truth that you need to give to a friend who's been struggling. Oh, I know why God showed me that. I know how I can help that person now. It's just a wonderful thing. And then he's our prayer partner. The Holy Spirit's our prayer partner. So we go to our prayer time. And you know what? The Bible says sometimes we don't know what we ought to pray. There's certain circumstances in life I really don't know what to even ask for. I don't even know what the answer is. And it's like, Lord, I don't know how to fix this. And the Bible says that when we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit will intercede for us. And isn't it neat? You're praying and you're so confused and you're so double-minded and you don't even know what you're supposed to be asking God, and the Holy Spirit at the throne of grace with you says, Father, well, let me help you by telling you what I think you're really trying to say here. Because the Holy Spirit knows the will of God. The Holy Spirit, you know, listen, aren't you glad he's there? And then all of a sudden you get in your car and you're like, okay, Holy Spirit, which way are we going to work today? Where do you want me to go? Holy Spirit, guide my thinking as I go. Help me to remember the things I learned from the scriptures this morning. Put somebody in my heart that I could be a blessing to. Lord, just lead me. Just lead me. Watch this. Just lead me. Lord, just lead me. Say, preacher, how many times a day should we pray this? A lot. A lot. Lord, just lead me. Lead me and you get to work. Lord, get ready to go in there. A lot of those guys don't know you. Lord, I got to be the right example. Holy Spirit, please help me to know when to speak and when to be quiet. What to say, when to say it, how to say it. Give me the compassion of Christ, the eyes of Christ, the heart of Christ. Help me to see people around me as eternal beings going somewhere. Just help me to make an influence. Okay, Lord, put a smile. Help me to have a smile on my face. They need to see you and me. They need to see victory. And you know, you're walking to work and you're just, Lord, Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, lead me. Help me to do a good job. Help me to work hard today. Folks, it's not rocket science. But you know what? If we don't know these things, it's easy just to continue living the way we've always lived before we got saved and just, you know, all right. Folks, this whole promotion of self and the importance of self and me being happy and me being first. I'm going to read this to you. It's crazy. Brother Klein, one of these days I'm going to send these to you. We'll put them up on the screen. Probably should have done that. Five Below. All you ladies and some of you men know where the Five Below store is in Terre Haute. Five Below. Yeah, it's cold in there. Don't go in there without a coat on. No, everything in there is supposed to be $5 or less. Pretty soon under Biden, it'll be the 10 Below store. But anyway, Five Below. All right, I go into Five Below. Not a store I typically hang out with or at, but when I'm with my wife, you know what? Wherever she goes on Thursdays, I go in, push the cart, she puts stuff in, I pay for it. That's how it works, okay? I'm looking for something. Here we go. All right. So I'm killing time in the Five Below store. All right. She's over there looking for whatever Sunday school class needs. I go over and there's a whole table full of books. All of these books are written for children or young people. Okay. Watch this. I just sit there with my phone and I can show you a picture of every single one of these books. I'm going to read them. This is books written to children and young people. I'm going snap, 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 snap. Here's the names of the books. The Legend of Me. Book number two. Today I Affirm, a journal that nurtures self-care. Third book, 2,000 Questions About Me. No wonder we have a nation full of narcissists. Fourth book, Create Your Me Movement. Well, a lot of Christians are creating their me movement every single day. Are you getting this? You know what's sad? Is how this is not shocking you as much as it should. Because we've been brainwashed. There's a part of, you know why there's a little part of you right now saying you need to go buy that book. There's nothing wrong with that book because there's this part of you that says, well, finally somebody's writing some books about me. Enough of this book. This will tell you to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. This will tell you to die to self. I want it to be all about me. Create your me movement. An empowering guided journal for girls. That's what it is. Choose your own journey. Or, excuse me? What happened to finding and following the will of God? Amen. Do you realize that if this is on the book table at five below, do you realize what your children are being taught in the public school system? Goes on. Here's a book called Starring You. Starring You. Here's another one. Be Happy, 35 Powerful Methods for Personal Growth and Well-Being. You know, there's part of you that, again, wants to say, wait. Me. You know what that is? The flesh screaming. Make it about you. Make it about you. In the last days, perilous times shall come. What's producing these perilous times? For men shall be lovers of their own self. Okay, somebody came to Jesus. What's the first great commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Second's likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know one of the reasons I almost insist on singing Jesus and Others and You every opening assembly at Blessed Hope Baptist Church while the children are in the room? Because they're not hearing that anywhere. And yet, that spells joy. Amen. Hey, folks, watch this. You know, if you want the flesh to lead, you can be born again. You'll go to the same heaven I do. But you're the most miserable, because selfish people are the most miserable people in the world. You don't see anything except how it affects you and yours. And you walk around with a chip on your shoulder all the time, just trying and waiting to be offended. You know why? You think it's about you. Look right up here. It's not about you. And there is a Holy Spirit, if you're saved, that's inside of you that I think is sick and tired of being the caboose. There is a way to live a victorious Christian life, but it is not getting up every day with the flesh leading the parade. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to understand as we go through Romans chapter 8, the spiritual life, the spirit-filled life. Lord, thank you that you generously, graciously imparted unto us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, as we continue to learn this, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'll help us to be better at it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.